We read today from Philippians 4, familiar verses to us, especially the last one that I'm going to read. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Did you catch the command in the very first word? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. It sure sounds like the apostle expects you and me to be joyful 24/7. But isn't he asking a bit too much? Are we supposed to be happy Christians all the time? Are we supposed to rejoice always? Doesn't Paul realize that we have problems? Unhappy moments? Bad days? Maybe a bad week? Maybe worse? Doesn't Paul get that? Yeah, he got that. He lived it. When he wrote that sentence in Philippians, he was in prison. The man had lost his freedom, mainly because he was doing the job Jesus gave him to do. So often when he carried out the important work of preaching the gospel, somebody was there to get in his face, reject him, and make his life much more difficult than what you and I have to face in the course of a normal day. I don't know about you, but it would seem, you know, at least at first glance, that Paul himself had legitimate reasons to be unhappy, at least every so often. But that is not his approach when facing the negatives in his life. No, he took them to God. He practiced what he preached. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Please understand that God wants you to have permanent happiness, lasting joy, which is something never based on how much fun you have, how much entertainment you can pack into your life, or how rewarding your career might be someday, or how many things you own. The permanent happiness that God wants you to have is meant to endure on solid ground no matter what your earthly circumstances happen to be. And that includes all the negatives we could face. Negatives come in different shapes and sizes, I suppose, but you can put them into one of two categories: the little ones and the big ones. Little negatives would be these things that do cause pain, sadness, but they're manageable. We can get through them with our Christian joy intact. The big negatives, on the other hand, potentially can overwhelm us. And I've got three in mind, which are interconnected. The guilt and condemnation of our sins. The finality of our own death. And the judgment of hell that we all deserve. These are real happiness killers, because they leave us desperate, unable to get rid of them. Ah, but you have the good news of a Savior as the solution to those problems, don't you? You know that Jesus took your guilt away by carrying it, all of it, to the cross. You have the victory of life. Life instead of death, made certain by His resurrection. He eliminated the judgment of hell for you by taking that punishment in your place. These really big happiness killers, out of the picture. He took them away. As for the rest of it, the little stuff, the challenging things, the troubling things, the pain, the suffering, we get to hand that off to God. Of course, if we fail to do that, and boy, that's certainly true, isn't it? We bring on ourselves sadness, worries, and regret, and the list goes on. On the other hand, if we can remember the victory of our Lord, which is ours, and the promises God has made to us, well, then the example of Paul we can actually do as we pray daily, give thanks to God regularly, and relax. Stay calm in the confidence that the loving, caring, all-capable God has it covered. The more you can learn, the more I can learn to focus on the sure basis of permanent happiness, what the Bible calls joy, the more actually we are learning to rejoice in the Lord always. That's the key to it. We rejoice in the Lord. Let's now bring in that familiar verse, what we hear at the end of Sunday sermons. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God's peace with you, the forgiveness of all your sins, is more than an announcement of how things stand between you and God because of Christ. It is also a power working inside you, guarding the faith and joy He has placed in your hearts and minds. Guarding that, keeping that there. Thinking back to yesterday's chapel, to a Jewish man with major medical problems, a potential source of daily unhappiness, Jesus said, as a very important thing in this man's life, "Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven." Sin kills happiness. Forgiveness of sins does the opposite. When you know that all your sins are forgiven because of Christ, you have good reason to be happy. When you experience God claiming you as His child and making you the constant target of His grace, you can be happy every day on that solid ground. When you have heaven to look forward to as the final glorious destination in your life, which never ends really, you can be happy forever. When you have God to turn to in the event of any crisis, you can still be happy in the middle of that crisis. I think of a popular song put to a reggae beat 20 years ago. "Don't worry, be happy." When the songwriter says it, it doesn't really mean much. When God says it, in this text and a lot of other places in the Bible, it's more than words. It's more than a slogan. It becomes a gift that is our reality. His grace as our heritage. Our lasting joy in Christ Jesus. Let us close by singing of that joy based on His grace. Hymn 50, all stanzas, hymn 50.